Tenderloin, still open for business, folks. Carry out and delivery. You can place your order anytime. Pickup is available from 2 to 7 p.m., and the restaurant will personally deliver to anyone within a 10-mile radius. The surfandsirloin.com menu has been reconfigured for couples, packages, and families of four. Check out the specials, including all of their porterhouse, filet, and ribeyes, along with chicken parmesan, grandma's breaded pork chops, fried cod, chicken fingers, and crab cake entrees. Give them a call, 822-3637, 822-3637. Carry out and now delivery from Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Jansen, and I'm here with Gray from Dents Express, St. Louis's premier paintless dent repair facility with two locations, Baldwin and St. Charles. Hey Gray, what exactly is paintless dent repair?
Great question, Cam. Paintless dent repair is the process of removing dings and dents without having to repaint your vehicle. It enables you to keep your original finish and also your factory warranty.
St. Louis, for all your dings and dents, contact my good friends at Dents Express, 636-227-5050, DentsExpressSTL.com.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex. Rosalita's offers a full menu of both food and drinks. Try their signature tableside guacamole made right in front of you or piled high nachos. They have a full array of classic Mexican dishes and even more modern specialties, including their Cadillac fajitas. The house margaritas are the best in town, and the specialty margaritas will have you coming back time and time again. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, downtown on Washington Avenue or on Manchester Road just west of 270.
Our greatest discoveries come when we stop searching. We set up our Palomino tent camper in Lake Park Campground, Rapid City, South Dakota. Every day another adventure. Mount Rushmore, Devil's Tower, Badlands. And between the obligatory day trips, we play catch. Beneath the endless sky, away from the stress of work, just father and son. Whap, the ball would hit the glove. Whap again. Then I heard it. The answer to the ancient Zen mystery. The sound of one hand clapping. Whap. Take a trip. Clear your mind. Go RV.
For the rest of your life.
Buy early trailer.
For the rest of your life.
Buy early trailer.
Rediscover your family. Show them you care.
For the rest of your life. You gotta be there.
Buy early. Just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
This is Mariah, third generation at Newsetters Fine Jewelry. Buying an engagement ring can be intimidating. At Newsetters, we ensure complete understanding of your purchase. We offer a choice in both lab and mine-grown diamonds and are able to work with any budget. Let our family help educate you on your choice at Big Ben and Doherty Ferry or at wowdiamonds.com.
Royal Banks of Missouri is all about convenience for you. Where else will you find extended drive-up hours until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 2 p.m. on Saturday? You're busy, and now you have a bank with the flexibility your schedule needs. What was that about convenience? Sign up for Royal Banks of Missouri mobile banking system, and rates are down. Refinance your home mortgage. Finance that next vacation with a home equity line of credit or take care of that new car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
Denise here from Appliance Discounters. Let's talk GE Appliances. First of all, what do you prefer? Professional and European? Restaurant inspired? Modern with clean lines? Now you can choose any inspiration with the GE product line, as well as a variety of finishes like stainless steel, black stainless, slate, and black slate, and they're all on display at any of the Appliance Discounters locations. As always, get them for the lowest price and with rebates up to $1,500 on select packages. Shop the locally owned Appliance Discounters with six showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Surf and Sirloin, still open for business, folks. Carry out and delivery. You can place your order anytime. Pickup is available from 2 to 7 p.m., and the restaurant will personally deliver to anyone within a 10-mile radius. The surfandsirloin.com menu has been reconfigured for couples, packages, and families of four. Check out the specials, including all of their porterhouse, filet, and ribeyes, along with chicken parmesan, grandma's breaded pork chops, fried cod, chicken fingers, and crab cake entrees. Give them a call, 822-3637, 822-3637. Carry out and now delivery from Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270.
Don't worry, be happy, Bobby McFerrin, I believe.
You're absolutely correct.
I cannot stand this song.
Love this song.
I played this when I was a roller skating rink DJ.
Oh, I bet. It's got a roller skating feel to it. I can see myself falling down right now. I don't know.
It's because it's a positive and, like, you know, uplifting song. That's why
No, that's not it. No, that's not it at all. I like positive, uplifting songs. This is just never, for some reason, did it.
This and Kokomo were the two big ones that I played that were the relaxing skate.
Beach Boys. Yeah, my wife loves that Kokomo Beach Boys song. Yeah. I like that song too. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal: we got a little business to get caught up on, and then Scott Sherman is here. I don't see anybody on the screen, meaning on hold. So that tells me that the really smart people took the day off and aren't listening today. Or you could be one of the smart people and jump in and take advantage of open phone lines. You see, every week. I'll get an email from, well, I tried to get in, I couldn't get in. Well, you can get in right now.
Can I ask him once while we're at the phone?
After I give these numbers. Thanks. Let me give the numbers. 314-821-0, and then I have to do some business first. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Now let's review. First Community Credit Union, open. You can do, if I say all your banking, then there's going to be one thing that somebody needs to do that they can't do at the drive-thru window. And then they're going, well, you said you could do all your banking. Okay, let's make it like 98% of the banking. Most people, whatever it is you do at a banking facility, wherever yours is, I'd hate to think it's not First Community, but we still have some people we got to win over, and we'll get you. We will. But most everything that you do, you can do at the drive-thru window. I mean, think about it. When you do your deposits, withdrawals, whatever, make a car payment, a house payment, you don't go in for that, and most people don't. So it is, in a way, business as usual. The ATMs are all up and running and operating. You need some cash, go to the ATM right outside of whatever First Community Credit Union location is closest to you. None of that changes. Here are the only couple of things I can think of where you may need to make an appointment, and you can do that at the drive-thru window, too. One is safe deposit box. You need to get into it. You're not going to have to come back a week from Thursday to get into it. I think the way this works is you drive up and say, I need to get in my safe deposit box. You'll park. Someone will let you in, take you into that area. The other would be, I guess, certain things that involve final signatures on paperwork. Most of the preliminary stuff can be done online, and then they'll make an appointment with you to go in and sit with somebody to finish it off. That's it. So all locations there for you, drive-thrus there for you, and if needed, there is someone there for you, especially at the drive-thru window. First Community Credit Union, over 40 locations, and we will not speak or be together again until Monday, which means this is the last day we have to remind you to please listen to the yard sale if you've never heard it on Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock. You get up, you make a pot of coffee, piddle around a little bit, wake up, turn the radio on, turn the app on, especially the app, and get ready for 2 hours of a combination of things, being entertained and hearing all the things that people out there don't need anymore, and they're ready to sell, and just, you know, maybe one of them is something that you need. And you'll probably be able to scarf it up at great savings, pennies on the dollar. That's the yard sale. And it's so good, it takes two people to host it. Scott Sherman and Dan Strauss. Saturday mornings, 7 to 9 o'clock. I mention it now because there's only one sponsor. First Community Credit Union. The exclusive sponsor of the yard sale on Saturday morning. More information about First Community at firstcommunity.com. Sing it, Johnny.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is
poor. Right now we have callers, and there's only one line open. If you want it, take it. 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Ladies and gentlemen, please officially let's welcome Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, guys.
Scott, how are you?
I'm great under the circumstances.
Well, you sound upbeat.
I am upbeat. Let's make this terrible situation and be nimble and get through it and do new things and do some fun things while we're getting through this.
Yeah, discover a couple new sexual positions. Things like that. Things you normally don't take the time to, you know, to do. You just same old, same old.
Been wanting to do that for a long time.
Well, now we have all the lines taken. But folks, here, listen, when someone hangs up, Dan, is it automatically one of the two numbers available, or do we know which one's available?
I know which one's available. I can tell which one's available.
Okay. Maybe I'll just turn to you then when we have one. I'll say, okay, which line's open? And they can just call that line.
Okay.
Let's start with Jim. Jim, you are first up. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you, Jim.
This is a bit of a after-the-fact thing, but my curiosity has not been satisfied yet. So I was... I'm a renter. I'm a good renter. I leave the place. I respect the heck out of people's places, so I don't, you know, I don't leave them trashed. I kind of didn't want to argue with my stupid last landlord because she's kind of a nutcase. But none of the deposit came back. It's not an amount worth even me fighting for. But I'm just wanting kind of my sanity satisfied. So is the standard of getting a deposit back, is it you have to leave the place perfect, or is it like if they have to paint the walls, is that something that makes your deposit, you know, go away?
Frank, can I take a run at this?
Yes, sir.
I think if it's obvious that you screwed the walls up, in other words, they look drastically different than when you moved in. No, they don't.
It wasn't.
So this is just a color change, and they want you to pay for it.
No, it's a couple holes, like thumbtack holes. You know what I'm saying? Not nails, like small holes. My question is, if
that's standard,
less than perfect, does my deposit go away by like legal standards, like industry standards?
All right, I'm gonna turn it over to Scott. My answer is no. That's normal, expected, not even wear and tear, just use. So my answer is no. Something like that, they shouldn't withhold your deposit, Scott.
Frank's right, and Jim, you should have got your deposit back. Perfect is not the standard. Wear and tear is often used as the standard, and basically it means what would the place normally look like for someone to live there. So thumbtack holes and carpet that isn't perfect and walls that are a little discolored, that's expected, and that's not the standard by which the landlord can keep your deposit. So she's a nutcase, and she's also robbed you of your deposit.
And I'm going to bet
probably just enough that it's not worth it to you.
And Jim, I'm going to bet you, does she have more than one property, or is this the only one she rents?
It's her only one, but she's a cat lady, and I don't mean to disrespect all the cat people in your audience, but... You know, homebody, cat lady, nosier than hell, blah, blah, blah. So.
And I'll bet you if you could contact every renter she's ever had, I'll bet every one of them would say the same thing. She tried to keep all their deposits. That's just the way she operates. She has no intention of giving it back to you, no matter how you left it.
And her house probably looks 10 times worse than the apartment. She was stay at home. She was stay at home before the coronavirus. That's just the way she lives. She's probably got cat stuff all over the place and filth. Trey smokes in her house.
So let's get to what Jim probably really wants to know, and that is, one, what can he do?
I'm done with this lady. Yeah, she can bite it. I want to know for future situations what the standard is.
You're right. She's wrong. And for the future, when you move in, videotape it with your phone. This is the way it looks. And then when you do the walkout, videotape it again. It's not a perfection standard.
But everybody hangs pictures and stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? Jim already knew going in. He knows exactly who he's dealing with, and he just wanted some confirmation. No, that's all. You had the right handle on it in the very beginning. Jim, thank you for calling. We appreciate
you guys.
All right, you too. Dan, what line's open?
It's the 855 line, Frank.
All right, thank you, Dan. 855-282-8255 is open right now if you jump on it. Kevin, it's your turn. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. I'm AM in the PM.
Hello, Kevin.
So Jim called. It's about along my line. We lived in an apartment complex that we had no furnace for 2 months this winter. So we had to stay in a hotel and blow through some of our savings.
Whoa.
Now, do we have any recourse I'm not going to say the apartment complex name, but do we have any recourse of action on that?
Right. I'd like to jump in if I could. You had zero heat in the middle of the winter. Yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
Sir.
You bet you do, because it's just flat out expected that any property that somebody is renting includes heating and cooling, especially heating. Scott, take it.
Yep. And the term is constructive eviction, meaning it was so bad that they kicked you out under the conditions of the place. This has happened not
no,
just...
No, they didn't kick him out. He had to leave.
No. We actually still have the place. We're moving. We're in the process of moving.
Hear me out.
It was 34 degrees at one point.
You guys were kicked out because of the conditions of the place. You had no choice but to leave. They didn't give you an eviction notice, but they gave you... it'd be like if they turned the lights out, or if they shut the water off, or they turned the heat off in the middle of the winter, or the air off in the middle of the summer. It's so bad and uninhabitable under standard circumstances that you were forced to leave. So when I mean they kicked you out, the conditions of the place kicked you out. That's the constructive part of the eviction. It's not an official eviction notice, but you're forced not only to leave, but to incur other expenses of getting your other lodging. So it's a defense, in a way, the constructive eviction. Hey, you still owe us money. Oh, yeah, come and get me. And the other part is, wait a minute, we might have to, Kevin and your roommate or whoever you live with.
Your wife.
You guys had to go and spend maybe more money than you would have living there, such as having to get a hotel or something and moving expenses and other things like that. So it can be defensive, this constructive eviction, and it can also be offensive in that you can sue the landlord and go, look, you owe us X amount of dollars because we had to spend more money for new lodging during the winter than we did living there, and we're not going to pay you fools for having a freezing cold icebox. It's not going to happen. So this has happened a lot recently. Not just in your complex, whatever your complex's name is, but there's a pretty infamous one that's up in North County that was doing this to dozens and dozens of people. And guess what? The garbage can law firm that represents them has been suing these people for not paying their rent.
When you say do it to him,
yeah.
Am I missing something here? Did they shut off, deliberately shut off the heat, or they just won't pay to get it running?
Well, depends on the complex.
To get the feeder hit.
It depends on the complex. He won't say the name, but I'll just describe the one in particular. It doesn't have to be on purpose, but this particular complex either didn't pay the gas place, this fire, or it was in such disrepair the way that they had it hooked up that people that had paid for gas heat service couldn't get it because the pipes and the weren't working. So it was either on purpose or negligence or just incompetence, but the services that would be rendered to the tenants, gas, which then heats the property, was not provided by the complex, and it was the complex's fault. This is different than when the tenant doesn't pay the heating bill. This was this particular place is a disastrous, disgusting place that either was shuttered by the health department or should have been shuttered by the health department, and it wasn't. And the people that own and run the place are disgusting, and then they sued people to evict them and sued them for rent for places that were uninhabitable to normal people, i.e. heat availability in the dead of winter.
Was it actual the gas that was shut off, or was it the furnace?
No, we paid our gas bill. We're paid up on Ameren's fire. We're paid up on all those.
So the
furnace is just not working.
No, they didn't shut it off. They just didn't repair it.
They didn't repair the furnace.
And other than, we've talked about force majeure, but, other than, like an earthquake or something, implied in that contract, or even specified in that contract, is that the landlord will provide the heat in the winter and the air in the summer. And if they don't and it doesn't work, it then can rise to the level of constructive eviction. If your heat doesn't work right now, it doesn't matter. It's 65 degrees outside. But when it's 10, how long can normal people stay there? So I don't know if it's the same complex. I don't care. But it matters to me that when you pay your rent and heat and air and that kind of stuff and electric are included and they don't provide it because of their fault, constructive eviction is your defense. It can also be used offensively to get the difference between what you have to pay to get new lodging in a safe place and this. It happens with mold. It happens with mice. It happens with other things, not just air and heat and water, but mainly with those three.
They're supposed to supply maintenance for everything in there. If your garbage disposal goes bad,
They had no maintenance for several weeks.
Wow,
they weren't paying their maintenance people. That's why.
And what infuriates me is on the back end, not only did they not provide that, not really have a reasonable excuse, not really attempt to fix it, but then they go the extra mile and sue people who don't have money to pay for two places, the new place they have to go to or the place that they're staying, or they're stuck there. And then they get sued, they get evicted, and the landlord sits there smugly and sort of chuckles. While this is the fault in large measure of, and if it's in St. Louis County, which I think it is, it's the fault of the St. Louis County government. They should make the place, condemn the place, and then find or give the people opportunities to go find other places and make that landlord pay for that. This is a business that is not, you know, it's not, I don't know, it's not Charles Dickens from, like, you know, London in the 19th century. You're paying a lot of money to stay in a place like this. You should get heat in the wintertime.
Right. So that we can move along here. Scott, what is Kevin? Kevin, do you know the first step to take to take care of this, or do you need Scott's email?
Well, we've already done it. We're actually moving, in the process of moving right now. Oh. And we were on Channel 4 News. My wife got interviewed by them about this. And
you should still consult with a landlord-tenant lawyer to see about what your future looks like, because you can still get sued. That doesn't prevent them from suing you, but you should be ready, willing, and able to go after them and find, if you're interested, find other like situated
tenants. Think about that. Isn't that a screwed up system? Just think about it for a second. Here's Kevin, correct? And his wife, and they don't have any heat, so they go and they have to get a motel or something for 2 months. The fact that the landlord could actually sue them for not paying their rent payment is insane.
Yep.
But they could.
This is actually the question I was going to ask you. It was exactly the subject. If somebody is in financial straits because of what's going on and they're where they're going to get evicted and they don't make a house payment, with the courts being closed down for non-essential activity, how is it that a landlord can even file an eviction process in the first place? And if they even can, I guess they can file electronically, getting it served, and then how long out are we looking at court cases with all that's been shut down?
My guess is you're not going to be kicked out for at least 6 months.
I'll answer Tim's question first. CaseNet is still open, so the court system in Missouri is still accepting filings on cases. Mm-hmm. In Illinois, the court systems are open. It's county by county, but they're still open. But, yeah, getting a court date and actually going in there is very, very difficult because of the stay-in-place orders. And most of the courts, City of St. Louis, St. Louis County, they have closed. But if that case is filed, there still is this, there's no tolling of the statute of limitations. The time can still run. So these plaintiffs, let's say in this particular case, the apartment complex, can still get a default judgment at some point in time after they get service either on the person or on
without a
place.
Hearing?
Well, you would get the service, and then you file for default, and then at the first time that you can come to court, you could get that order. Or you could go in and say it's an emergency, and some judges would sign it. Ooh. Now, I don't know that too many would in this environment because of this. But the difference between the situation that Kevin has and the situation that you brought up is it's different when somebody doesn't have the financial means to pay for a perfectly good place versus Kevin paying for a horrible place that no one can live in. So Kevin has a much better opportunity to not only defend against any lawsuit coming his way and his wife's way, and also could have a lawsuit or join other people in a class action lawsuit against this place for not providing a safe place.
Okay, we have to scoot. Kevin, did that help you, I hope?
Yes, it helped me a lot, and I know Scott's email address.
Okay, and I know a landlord-tenant lawyer that hates these people.
Right. Now we move on. Dan, what line's open?
855 line, Frank.
All right, 855-282-8255. We go to Larry. Larry, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. I'm AM and a PM.
Thank you, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Scott. Scott, this is a little unusual question, but I've got some chickens in my backyard, and I'd like to start selling eggs. What are my legal liabilities on that?
Wow, that's one we haven't had before.
I'm wondering if my dad put Larry up to this, because my dad has chickens in his backyard.
No, you know what? What about, isn't that like the same as people like selling tomatoes or something on the roadside or something like
that? Let me give you the coronavirus. Are you in St. Louis County, Larry?
No, I'm in the city.
Okay, in the city.
According to agricultural.mo.gov, Scott, to package eggs, you have to possess a Missouri dealer's egg license or a limited retailer egg license.
Well, there you go. Just don't package them.
That's right. Sell them individually.
I'm curious. Before we go any further, I'm curious here, Larry. How many eggs are we talking about weekly here that you would have available?
Not a lot. I mean, right now I've got 3 dozen that I could sell and still hold some back for myself and my family.
And how much do you get for a dozen eggs?
Well, they're brown eggs. They're from Rhode Island Reds, and I'm asking $3 a dozen.
Okay, this is not advice, but I have to tell you, how did you plan on selling? Just a sign in your yard, or just to people that knew you had them? Yeah, I would not even worry about it for that, because the first thing that will happen is somebody might come up and go, "Hey, you can't do this without a permit." That's it. And okay, and you say, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't know," and then you get a permit. Until that happens, not advice, it's just what I do. I just sell the eggs.
Well, somebody gets sick eating his eggs, though.
Well, that's why it's not advice. It's what I would do. It's not advice for anybody else.
Sort of a little spin on it. First, I read the ordinance, both the stay-at-home ordinance for the city and St. Louis County.
Okay, I have to stop real quickly.
Yeah.
What if somebody got sick and he had a permit? What's the difference? If he had a permit, they could still get sick. Exactly. And he had bad eggs. Go ahead, Scott.
Agriculture, including farming, including things like having chickens and milk and cows and other things, is exempt for the prohibited businesses. It's considered an essential business. So what you can do is this, Larry. Say it's, you're doing an essential business, have your little roadside thing out there, and have a suggestion for a donation to the Larry Coronavirus Fund. I'm not really being flippant about it. Give people the eggs and then just ask them for a donation. They might give you more than $3. And
that's for a $10 donation for every dozen eggs.
Exactly. You're not really selling them. Plus, if they did arrest you, they would let you go because no one in the city of St. Louis is going to jail. And the judge at some point would throw this out. So do the eggs. However, I think you feel that it would be the safest. And it's also an essential business, so no one can come. The cops can't come and say, you're shut down, because it's, I don't know exactly which exception it is. I have this thing here somewhere, but it's one of the exceptions in there for food. Oh, it's subsection F. Clause 1, subsection F of the business exception for businesses, farming.
So your answer and advice to him would be what? Just sell the eggs.
Farm.
Sell the eggs.
And either give them away with a donation request, or sell them.
Okay, to Tim's issue, which I think is something we should at least just take a minute to think about, when people out in the country, you go to Columbia, Waterloo, any of these little, it's common to see on somebody's private property tomatoes, corn, whatever. Do they need a permit to sell that on their own property?
I don't think so.
I don't think they do. And so what if they got sick? I mean, so you got sick. I don't think the permit keeps you from the potential to get sued if you have a bad product.
And actually, I wasn't being flippant at all. And there's actually a secondary reason why I said donating them. There's a state law, and every state has this law, which is an exemption from liability when you donate food.
Okay.
So if you donate food, they want to encourage people not to waste food and to get it to people that are hungry. So if you donate it, there's a state law that would then protect you if somebody did get sick. Hey, I donated food. and I took a donation for the Larry Fund.
According to the Missouri Department of Health, Frank, vegetables do not require inspection and license. Eggs, dairy products, beef, pork, and meat, salsa, pickles, and barbecue sauce, sprouts, and wild mushrooms are the foods that require that.
Is that even for commercial? Even on your own property out in the country.
Well, they require inspection or licensing.
Huh. Hmm. Well, that sort of makes sense, though, because those are the things that would make you sick. If you're stupid enough to put long-expired, you know, dairy products out there for sale in the heat. Right. That makes sense, I guess. Well, I hope that helped.
Or this one, Larry. Sell them a hat for $3. And then with every hat that you sell, you get a free dozen eggs. Now you haven't sold any.
And they got some really bad cheap caps, Larry. You could go on these merchandising sites and buy caps for 25 cents a piece. Just the cheapest, crappiest cap you can get. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Or get some rocks and just sell rocks. Just lay the rocks up there.
See, Larry, it's not much of a hat. Well, they're terrific eggs.
Foods that you don't need a license or permit for would be basically vegetables, baked goods, jams and jellies, produce and nuts, fruits, those types
now,
of
see,
things.
Now, see, that surprises me, because baked goods, depending on who baked it and how long
which has eggs in it.
How long that custard pie has been sitting in the heat.
Good point.
Yeah, that's weird.
It already has eggs and milk and butter and dairy products in it.
But it can still have shelf life. All right. Well, Larry, you've thrown us a curve we haven't had before, so thank you for that.
Cool.
And thank you for listening. Great. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Have a nice day.
All right. We could end with SCF. Stay corona-free.
Oh, my goodness.
That could be our new... Well, I'm trying to think of something to say besides see ya. To say that we don't want people catching the coronavirus, which, of course, we don't. Except for a couple people I know. I don't care if they get it. Let's see.
Frank, the 314 number is available.
Okay, Dan, thank you. 314-821-0590. And I think, is it Steve or Stan? Who's next here?
Which one? Steve.
Steve. Well, Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. AM and PM.
Hi, Steve.
So my question has to come with this coronavirus stuff. Work for a company, know that there's somebody that is out sick. Before he was out sick, he told us that he had been staying with a first responder before he got his new apartment. First responder took somebody into the hospital, possibly a corona case. So... now that this one is out sick, is the company supposed to tell us that he could possibly have corona, or do we have to follow that HIPAA violation law that says they can't tell us anything?
Well, first of all, you're not following any HIPAA anything. HIPAA only applies to medical professionals, so you're not bound by any HIPAA crap because you're not a doctor or a therapist or any of that stuff. In terms of whether or not the company is obligated to tell people, hey, we got somebody that possibly could be, my answer to that is, yeah, of course they should. But here's Scott. Scott?
I think they're more obligated to enforcing the stay-at-home order with their employee than giving you the details of their medical information. And while Frank's right about the HIPAA, they may have an agreement that they've come up with or a guideline where if some employee has a medical condition, they're not to share it. But they definitely should tell the rest of you, not who has it, you can probably figure that out, but that A, one of the employees or someone has it and that person is being quarantined. Just by them letting that person who has symptoms come to work, they have then violated the entire reason and the entire stay-at-home order. So,
and by the way, they've just opened themselves up for tremendous liability if they don't share that.
Huge litigation for the rest that could be exposed if they can show that that was the employee patient zero and they didn't do anything to protect the rest of the employees. Now, where is the company located, in Missouri or Illinois?
Illinois.
Okay. Illinois has a statewide order that's been in place since, I think, the 20th or so. It changes all the time. But absolutely, I don't even think people are supposed to be going into work unless it's an essential business. And then, as I've looked through all of the exceptions for essential business, it's just about every business I can think of except for bowling alleys and movie theaters and gyms. So you may be working in a state that has a very severe clampdown stay-at-home order. And yet that business may be an essential business, that's sort of the definition of it, and have to have people go there. But under no circumstances, whether it's Illinois with a statewide order or Missouri that just kind of goes county by county right now, should any business that has any knowledge of any employee or person that works there or around there with these symptoms allow that person to come and be in contact with the coworkers? That is, as Frank said, and very well, ground for a big-time lawsuit by the people that get exposed to that. So do they have to tell you who it is? No. Are they prohibited by ERISA? Probably not. Should that person be nowhere near you people? Absolutely. And if it is, and they do, then it's going to be a big problem for that company.
Hey, what about someone that knows that they've been exposed?
Moo!
But they, yeah.
Some people will get it. Some people will get it.
Know that they've been exposed, but they go to work anyway to keep working.
Well, they can probably get a charge of a crime. You know, this is no different having a communicable disease than having, I don't know. I mean, they're
a gun that goes off at work accidentally,
or you know, like Zika or something. You know, you just can't walk into work with a highly contagious communicable disease and not tell anyone. You probably will be charged with a crime. But you know, what liability does the company have? If they don't know that you're sick, then they have none. Mm-hmm. But if you go and tell the foreman, hey, don't tell anybody, but I really need the money, and you know, I got a fever, I'm coughing, I got all the symptoms of corona, and they go, don't worry about it. Now the company has a problem.
Or you have no symptoms, but you know that you've been exposed to it, but you don't have any symptoms yet.
Looks bad, feels great. Yeah.
Yes.
That's different. That's the high school dance case that happened a couple weeks ago at the Ritz-Carlton. You know, if you've been exposed and you don't have symptoms, but you wander around anyway at a dance, or you go wandering around in a park and hugging and shaking hands with people, you're a moron and an idiot. And you probably could get sued if you infected.
Did you just suppress a belch?
You know what? I think I did.
I think you did. Uh-oh.
Get me.
You are to be applauded, because that was a great belch swallow.
That deserves a round of applause. I Foster Brooks'd that last sentence. Big
that
well done.
But it came out the other end. You didn't hear that.
Well, man, I'll hear about it later. So it's all in flux. But the more you know about your health, and the more it leans towards symptoms of coronavirus, and either you're an individual, you could end up being charged with a crime. And the more a business knows about the illness or exposure of its employees, and the less it does to prevent it, you're going to get sued. So, no, the law is not always commonsensical, but under these orders, these are very specific that under every circumstance, you're supposed to practice social distancing. And not what I've seen in my neighborhood and in Kirkwood and Webster, where a bunch of kids and parents are, you know, using this as spring break to get together in a big group and have a party. It's disgusting. Is it something people are going to end up in prison about? Probably not, unless they lick watermelons at the store like one guy did, or, you know, try to infect people on purpose. But it's horrible, and there are laws and executive orders in place to make you stay home and probably to charge you with some kind of crime if people get sick because of your incompetence.
We got to scoot. Steve, did that help you, I hope?
It did. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I have to do, excuse me, one. Go ahead and give it to me. Go ahead and get out of the way. I have to do
Frank,
one quick
the 855 number is available.
Dan, I'm in the middle of a commercial.
Oh, okay.
I just said I'd do a little business here. And then we'll get to the 855 number. This won't take long. It's just another reminder that First Community Credit Union is open for business. The lobbies aren't open, but outside of that, open. ATM's working. They got your money. It's safe. You can get it if you need it. Put more in if you want to add to it. Drive-through windows are the answer. They're the salvation here. because there's not much that you can't do in terms of banking at the drive-through window. So please remember that at the more than 40 locations, drive-throughs working, ATMs working, all the transactions can be done, or let's just say the great majority of them can be done at the drive-through. If you do need to get in, they'll get you in. Make an appointment, or from the drive-through window, say, I need to come in and get my safe deposit box. So we're just kind of running through again so that everybody knows, you know, what's what here and nobody has any misinformation. You can also always, of course, go to their well. No popcorn. That's the bad news. No fresh popcorn because, you know, that's in the lobby, but it'll be back. FirstCommunity.com is the website. Dan said the 855 number was open. I think it still is. 855-282-8255. We move to Stan. Stan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. I am AM in the PM.
Hello, Stan.
Hey, Frank, I promised a customer of mine that I would do this. I haven't been on in a few months, but do you remember the name Frank White?
Frank White,
the baseball player for the Royals.
No, maybe I got the wrong last name. He was your sergeant,
Frank Tucker.
I can't find his last.
Frank Tucker.
Thank you.
Yeah,
sir.
Frank Tucker, the Army. Yeah,
I wasn't sure.
I do remember Frank Tucker because he was the only other young, bald-headed guy when I was in the Army Reserves and we'd go to the meetings on Kennerly. Frank and I were the only two guys in our 20s who were bald, so we had an immediate bond and brotherhood through baldness. So, yes, I do remember Frank Tucker.
He told me that. So, I have to do my PSA. Folks, if you don't have underinsured insurance, get underinsured insurance. Right, Scott?
That's correct. That's such a good advice. Really good advice.
Did you have a question for Scott?
I do. This is a little different, but this was very frustrating to me. It happened a couple months ago.
Okay.
As Gomer Pyle said once, citizens arrest. The reason I bring this up is I was at a grocery store and pulling into a parking spot right in front of me was an old woman and an old man, and she's smoking. They're both smoking in the car with the window just barely down. And all of a sudden, I noticed two kids in the back seat. So I walk over to her and I said, "Excuse me, why would you possibly be smoking in your car with the kids in the back seat?" And both of them were under 10. They had to be. She said, "It's none of your business." I said, "Well, you're rude and selfish. And by the way, it is my business because you don't know this, but that's illegal." Am I correct, Scott?
Where do you live? What part of the
St. Louis County? St. Louis County.
I think you're right. I think that there's an ordinance. I don't know that there's a state law in Missouri on that. I think that there is in Illinois on that. But I think that there's an ordinance in St. Louis County that prohibits smoking in vehicles. Now, that's one where I could check and get back to everybody. But I would say, Stan, you did a good thing by telling them that, whether it's true or not, because it could also be fall under the endangering the welfare of a child. Even if it's not specific as to smoking, it's no different if those people are smacking each other around while the kids are driving or smacking the kids or drunk. They're endangering the welfare of those kids, and I think that that ordinance, whether it's in that municipality or in St. Louis County or a state law, they could be charged by a police officer for that. Because there is no excuse, as you said, for exposing young children who are not adults and cannot decide to cigarette smoke in an enclosed place. So whether it's specifically a law about smoking, I think it would fall under the endangering the welfare of a child, and I think you had every right to say that, and I think you're right, it's against the law because it endangers the health, safety, and welfare of those minor kids.
Well, and I looked it up afterward, and it is an ordinance in St. Louis County.
Look at there.
But I guess
here's what I like. Stan, I like the fact that you said they were old people. How old do you think they were?
Oh, they were in their mid-70s for sure.
That hurts me. So here's my question to you. Would you have had that same attitude if you walked up to the... Hold on. Would you have had that same approach if you walked up to the car and the guy behind the wheel was 6'8 and about 285? Hey, I don't think you should be smoking. Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't mean to bother you. If they weren't elderly,
I think you would have. I do those things. I'll do those things all day, Frank.
Don't you love the people who go, "It's none of your business"?
Right.
I love those people.
Yeah.
They're just asking.
I said, Yeah, what I said very simply was, well, you're rude and selfish, okay? Those kids shouldn't be exposed to it. So, Scott, my real question was, how do you make a citizen's arrest? Is there a way to do that? I mean, if I had their license plate and they took off?
Not when they're 6'8".
I think the whole citizen's arrest thing is a myth. I don't think there's really any real such thing, is there, Scott?
Well, I think you can actually, if you see a crime that's happening, you can actually detain those people. Now, I don't know if you're going to handcuff them and take them off to jail. You might get charged with kidnapping unless it's some kind of a murder. But you can forcibly detain people that are committing an act, violent.
Before you do that, you better be 100% sure they're committing a crime, or
here's the one where I think it's clear. Some big tall guy is waylaying the you know what with his fists or hands about the frail young woman that he's with.
Right.
That would be the one that's there. Grabbing a hold of Grandpa and chaining him to the bumper because he's smoking in the car, that's probably not the one where they're going to take kindly when you detain those people physically. But I think the citizen's arrest is this. You have every right as a citizen, non-police officer, to report this to a law enforcement officer, and that's what the meaning really is.
The citizen's arrest law cannot be used to execute an arrest for a traffic, cigarette, or tobacco infraction.
Look at that, Tim Woodburn.
Wow.
But you definitely... Wow.
This is neither of those.
But snitching is the key, because too many people right now have a negative connotation of calling the police when they see something happen. They don't want to get involved. They're afraid that something's going to happen to them. But, you know, in this particular instance, let's say that Stan called on his phone 911 or the police department and said that. He would have every right to say that. And it would not be a citizen's arrest because he's not detaining physically the suspected criminal.
Frank, why would you say that? He's talking about catching people smoking with kids in the car, right?
Yeah, what you just said, though, I said this is none of those, so this is something that he could call about on.
I don't understand, because the crime you cannot make a citizen's arrest on somebody for a traffic, cigarette, or tobacco infraction. Wouldn't this be a cigarette infraction?
And tobacco?
But I say it's
more child endangerment. I don't think it really falls under just tobacco, cigarette, like throwing a lit cigarette out in the dangerous. I think this is more than that. I think this is endangering the health of a child.
I think the citizen's arrest is a physical detainment. Let's say they said, I'm going to leave, and you grab a hold of them, and you have handcuffs, and you handcuff them to the bumper, and you go, you're not going anywhere.
Or just hold the gun on them.
That's a citizen's arrest. So,
but you better be 100% sure have actually caught a crime in progress, or you're going down.
I'd say a felony. To be safe, I'd say a felony and a crime of violence, especially.
Mere fact that these old people said it's none of your business tells you right there they don't give a crap about these kids, and they're probably their own grandkids. And they don't care.
And it's the same stuff often will see in a grocery store where some adult figure will be beating the you-know-what out of a crying kid or a young kid that won't listen. That also
right, is here's some bad childhood. News. I have 10 seconds. Stan, thank you for the call so much. And thanks for doing what you did. Thank you for doing. We need more people doing that. Out of time. Holy cow, I'm so sorry. It got away from me. Scott, thank you. Thursday, folks, we'll do it again. Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you. See you next week.
I'm going to say we'll be here. I hope we'll be here. Window World will be here next week. They're here now. They're open. They're doing estimates. They are taking orders, installing windows. I get it that I guess maybe out there's somebody who doesn't want anyone in their house for any reason. Okay. But, you know, to have somebody come out who they're certainly not going to send anybody out to your house that is coughing or has a fever. They even suspect that there's the slightest possibility they may have something they could pass on to you. So it's one of those businesses that has not been forcibly shut down, that is considered essential. And so unless it's just for pure cosmetic reasons, get your windows replaced. Call Window World. And you know why you'd want to call them. Why wouldn't you? The number one selling replacement window in the country. And you can find out more about the preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues and the official window of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs at this website, windowworldstlouis.com. Don't go away. The Playhouse is coming up. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
Covering St. Louis.
I cannot recommend it highly enough.
590 The Fan. More than just sports. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up a whopping 20% since its close on Monday. That puts it on pace to have its best week in nearly 80 years. Wall Street investors shrugged off the worst weekly unemployment numbers in history and sent the Dow Jones to its third straight positive trading session. The Dow was up 1,351 points to 22,552. The S&P 500 improved